Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Rebuilding is a word we're going to be hearing often in weeks and even years to come. Rebuilding after the devastation of recent hurricanes, and rebuilding after the destruction of war. The rebuilding of roads and infrastructure, rebuilding of homes and schools and businesses, even the rebuilding of entire towns will take time, will be expensive, and will require the removal of huge amounts of debris. But what about the rebuilding of lives from the debris of sin, the damage of disaster, and the heartbreak of broken relationships and hopelessness? Rebuilding is a long, complicated process, and that's why we've been looking at Isaiah 59 the past few days, seeking to understand what God wants us to learn from what he said to Isaiah and the people of Israel 2,700 years ago. Sadly, we human beings have proven over the centuries that we are far more effective at demolition, destruction, and causing debris piles than we are at rebuilding. So let's return to see what God said to Isaiah about this. Yesterday, in Isaiah 59, verse 15 to 17, we were amazed to see that God himself has gotten involved in the rebuilding process here on planet Earth, even though we humans have been the destruction agents, devastating what God created to be so perfect. God initiated this rebuilding by coming here in the person of Jesus Christ, clearly proclaiming God's truth, which is ultimate and foundational truth for everything, proving his supreme power through his miracles, and most of all, becoming our sin atonement in his death on the cross. But it is the resurrected Jesus that is the rebuilding power for our lives, no matter what the debris pile of devastation might be. Did you know the rebuilding work of Jesus is intended by God to draw the attention of the entire world? Isaiah 59, verse 19 describes it this way. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. And from the rising of the sun, that's the east, of course, they will revere God's glory. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. Of course, Jesus became the fulfillment of this prophecy when he came to Jerusalem, Zion, and proclaimed God's truth and obediently gave his life as a ransom for the sins of the world, making the rebuilding process possible for any person, beginning with the Jews who were eyewitnesses. But since that day, the gospel has spread to the farthest corners of the world, and today, yes, the name of Jesus Christ and the rebuilding work he accomplishes in lives is seen and revered from east to west, north to south, wherever human beings live. And so, in closing of Isaiah 59, God makes this bold promise and proclamation. As for me, this is my covenant with them, those Jesus has redeemed, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, and the lips of your children, and the lips of their descendants, from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Isaiah 59, verse 21. It's a glorious promise for rebuilding now and for generations to come. When God places his Holy Spirit within a redeemed, repentant sinner, the Holy Spirit permanently lives within that person. God's words have been available to us from the time God gave them, thousands of years ago, and as they have been translated into the language of the world, they are now available to almost every living human being in their mother tongue. But even more powerful are the words of God memorized in the minds of God's people and therefore able to be spoken and explained to the succeeding generations beginning in their childhood. That's the promise of Psalm 78, verse 1 to 7, and Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 to 9. And it's the great privilege of parents and grandparents to teach their descendants. And it's the wonderful privilege of children growing up in God-loving families and celebrating the rich heritage they have received, Psalm 62, verse 5. So, in closing, we need to ponder some questions today, my friends, as we consider the remarkable rebuilding truths buried in Isaiah 59. First, Are you and I among those in whom God is doing his rebuilding work as we have trusted in Jesus Christ to save us from our sin? Second, are we among those who revere God because of all he has done to provide a rebuilding path for our world? Third, are we among those who are confident God has placed his Holy Spirit within us and that Spirit is vibrantly rebuilding our lives to be all God originally designed us to be? Did you get that, my friends? Watch this. Normally, rebuilding is the effort to restore something to what it was before. Not so with God. When Jesus rebuilds a human life, he does not seek to take us back to what we were before we met Jesus, but rather to take us to God's original design for us, which is so much better. And fourth, are we among those who joyfully and intentionally are speaking God's words to all whom our lives touch? Especially, are we investing in our children and grandchildren so they will grow up among the privileged who know and revere God? If we can answer yes to those questions, then we, my friends, are very significant and maybe even strategic in our debris-filled world, for we are those redeemed people through whom God is doing his rebuilding work in our world. Now, I urge you to ponder the power of that remarkable possibility, my friends, as you reflect on the significance of those questions and Isaiah 59. And here's a wonderful song to help us celebrate God's rebuilding work in us and our world.